I am who you say that I am. I am who you say that I am. Our passage this morning is from 1 John. We're still in 1 John. Remember that series? Kind of split it up a little bit. I'm going to read our text that we had last week, along with today's text, which will be our focus. And then I will also read next week's text as well, just as a reminder for our women, our mothers, those whom we will celebrate on the 9th, that you too, in the midst of raising children, in the midst of delegating, in the midst of organizing, in the midst of celebrating, even in the midst of grieving, that you are loved by God. Hear the words from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16. Only 19 will show up. Oh, well, I'll read it and then you can display 19. Amen. Be nice if I was in the right place, right? This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. But if a person has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, and that person doesn't care, how can the love of God remain in him? Verse 18, little children, let's not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in relationship to God. We receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And for next week, verse 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love each other as he commanded us. The person who keeps his commandment remains in God, and God remains in him. And this is how we know that he remains in us, because the Spirit that he has given us. Let's go back to verse 19. This is how we know we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts in God's presence. Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in relationship to God. We receive whatever we ask him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this moment. God, we love you, we honor you, and we praise your holy name. And as we stand, as we kneel, as we rest before your throne, Lord, open our hearts to receive how and what we will know in your name. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Do we have another song? I thought maybe I did something. Are y'all going to stay up here with me? I don't think so. Well, amen. You're going to stay with me? Oh, okay. All right. Come back. They need to come back. I'm not going to sing like Pastor Ashley does. You all might leave. So, good morning, beautiful people of God. We do this every week. Can we do that again? And when we depart this morning and you see the 11 o'clock folks coming in, let them know. Remember, we do this every week. Good morning, beautiful people of God. The birds are singing. The weather is beautiful. The construction is moving right along. Ministry continues to flourish. Your generosity is evident because we are still here. Strengthened by hope, by love, by kindness, by relationships, by the grace of our God. Saints, I want you to know we have connected more people to God. We have grown more in our faith, and we are serving more of God's people together. And for this, we should be celebrating. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is. How often have you heard the phrase, there is always room for negotiation? Have you heard that before? Okay. I have seen commercials on, there's always room for more Jell-O. You seen those? There's always room for more dessert. I've always heard, there's always room for more chocolate and coffee. That's my favorite. Don't forget that. I have no idea how or when this phrase came into fruition. I just know I heard about it as well as others. They've talked about it. For many people in my life, it has crept into my mind whenever I make a large purchase, like a house or a car. I have heard this phrase when a friend shares they are thinking of asking for a promotion or salary increase. And best of all, I even heard this phrase yesterday at the super sale, whispered to me, Pastor Sheila, there's always room for negotiation. That's why I bought as much as I did. So I don't know about you, but I have noticed this phrase does not fit within our First John series. It seems as if there is very little room for negotiation in this letter. John is combating the deception posed to new and young believers, and he is reminding others to hold on to what they knew and understood from the beginning, that their fellowship is with God through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Hold on to what you have known from the beginning. As you know from the beginning, this epistle, this letter introduces us, yes, us, into some of the most difficult and challenging truths of what it means to be the light of Christ. Terms like confession, sin, obedience, laying down one's life, the cross, belief, which are all undergirded by God's grace and love. This morning, we are excavating the truth of what it means to embrace the risk-filled faithfulness evident in the words, this is how we know. You may laugh, and it's okay, but First John reminds me of my GPS. Yes, the one I know I need to use more often. It reminds me of any navigation tool, or quite frankly, any tool or program that is based on precision, like a printer. Whenever you install a new printer or new ink for the printer, it goes through a phase of realignment. Are you familiar with that? A navigation tool will do the same every once in a while, A realignment is required in order to perform at its highest level. Today's text invites us to recognize that it is difficult to minister, to serve, to give generously, to connect people to God, to grow in your faith, to perform at your highest level, or to complete the mission of the church without maintaining a proper alignment to our God. Do I need to say that again? No. I think everyone got it. This precision that it takes for us to remain in alignment to our God. Beautiful people, this passage tells us in verse 4, different ways that the heart, your heart, is the navigational tool, the precision printer, not your Apple or your Android watch, that keeps you on track with God. It reminds me of how the wisdom book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23, proclaims, "Watch your heart, or guide or guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the well springs of life." Today's text is to be navigated not with a spirit of condemnation nor guilt, but with a spirit of prayer and reflection, a spirit of confidence and assurance that God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our hearts, and God knows all things. God sits with you in your guilt and your shame, in your struggles and your joys, in your frustrations in your pains. Not only does God sit with you, God sits with me in the same way. I have stood up here time and time again proclaiming that we are not perfect and that God sits with us in our pain, in our worry, in our concern for our families, for our church, for our neighbor, and for our world. We may be able to hide from each other, but we cannot hide from God. See, from the heart, the seat of your emotions, the center of your human life, the control center of our well-being, flows this wellspring of life, this wellspring of love, this wellspring of truth. This is how we know. This is how we will understand, experience, perceive that we as children of God belong to the truth of God. And this truth is grounded in one line. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The truth that in Christ we gain confidence. The truth that in Christ our guided prayers lead us in a direction to pray for others, to pray for our world, to pray for our neighbor, to pray for what is needed and not necessarily what is wanted. The truth reassures us that in the presence of God, the wellspring of life says to everyone who meets us, everyone who comes near us, that we cannot believe in Jesus without believing in love, that we cannot have love without action. In a world that says there's always room for negotiation, today's text leaves no room, only grace. Only grace. For all of you baseball fans, our life is not always about hitting a home run. Sometimes picking up the bat and taking a swing is enough. This is how we will know love and truth, because our hearts are reassured in God's presence. Our hearts are reassured when you worship God in this sacred place, wherever you are worshiping God. This is how we will know. I wanted today to share some things with you. They are very personal to me because this passage touches upon condemnation, guilt, and shame. One of the things that I wanted to share with you, and I wasn't planning on doing this, but apparently the Holy Spirit is moving me in this direction, because sometimes guilt and shame overwhelms us, even in the presence of our Most High God. Can I get an amen on that? So as you know, many of you know, our church is going through what people are saying is a split or a divorce, right? And it's based on human sexuality. And I wanted to share this with you because I think this is one of those key moments where we can open up and show how God has changed our own hearts, how God has transformed our own walk. Or as I speak of myself, my own heart, my own walk, my walk to the table of grace. I've grown up in the Baptist church. Many of you knew that. Don't hold that against me. But my theology of grace is steadily on my heart. I'm always learning and practicing. When I was a Wesley director, I had a student who was gung-ho for God. Do you know people like that? Gung-ho for God. She came to every meeting. She served in all of leadership. She taught. She shared. She made herself available out of her love for God. So because of our relationship, and with me being clergy, as I stand behind the table of grace and I watch and listen to what is happening in our church, she came to me and she told me that she was gay out of our relationship. And I sat down with her and I said, well, you know what the Bible says about human sexuality. You know what the Bible says. So we're going to pray through this. We're going to meet every week and we're going to walk through this together. She never came back. Guilt and shame. She never came back. I reached out to her. She did not call me back. I emailed her, nothing. I invited her back to Wesley, nothing. As I watch what is happening in our church and I read this passage, this is how we will know love. I did not show her love. And that makes me feel guilty and shameful. I still think about it. Because it happened again. It happened Another story, very similar. Someone serving, someone being a part of what God is doing in the church. God leading us and guiding us, the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. And I sat down once again and said, you know what the Bible says. Never saw them again. Never heard. This is how we will know God's truth and God's love. When we pray for reconciliation, when we pray for restoration, instead of standing in the seat of condemnation and judgment. I never expected to tell that story. I think two people know in my life. Because they prayed with me to restore me back to where God was calling me, to this table of grace. I am not asking for you to make a decision as a church, as Cokesbury, on cross-sexuality. Meaning we're all sitting here with different forms of how we think about, different theologies of how we think about human sexuality. But what I am asking you is not to condemn like I did, not to judge like I did, but to be filled with God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's grace. This is how we will know God's truth. Because the scripture tells us we will lay down our lives because Christ laid down his life for us. Talk about a confession today. This is how God reconciles and restores us so that this table of grace is truly open to everybody. This is how we will know truth and love, because you have confidence in your relationship to God. I had lots of confidence in my relationship to God, in my relationship to the scriptures, but I hurt people that walked away from the faith because of me. And all they wanted was love. This is how we know. That we practice real love through our actions. That the love is in action and not words. The love is in truth. And not speech, the truth that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, laid down his life. If that doesn't change things in the body of the church and the community of faith, I have no idea what will. I'm sure I'm going to get emails and statements, but I wanted to share my experience of how God opened up this table of grace and reconciliation and love for me. This is how we know love. Through God's grace. Did shame and condemnation exist for me? Yes. Have I been restored back to God? Yes. Will I turn people away from the grace of this table, from the doors of the church? No. Because for me and in my house, this is how we know love. This is how we know God's truth. He laid down his life for you and is calling us to do the same for others. Not through condemnation, not through judgment, but through action and love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, sometimes a good cup of coffee is not enough. Sometimes the truth is. Sometimes our experiences lead us to love you even deeper, lead us to ask for forgiveness, lead us to restoration and reconciliation. Lead us to your word, O God. And lead us to open our hearts to hear that you are our God and sit with us no matter what. We are grateful for this table of grace, whom you have called so many to. An open table. A table that says that you are invited here no matter what. A church that says you are invited here no matter what. A gospel that says you are invited here no matter what. Lord, as we reflect on this passage about condemnation in our hearts, as we receive what you have called us to do in remembrance of you, Lord, may we remember how you sacrificed so much for us. We are your children. You call us your children. You call us friends. My prayer is in this moment that our hearts will be unified in you, not through theology, but in you, knowing that the scripture tells us that you laid down your life. This has been difficult and hard, and I don't know what 11 o'clock is going to get, but this is where I am right now, and I pray that our people are in this moment too. Sometimes we come to this table, God, carrying shame and condemnation and guilt and judgment, and we walk back to our seats with the same condemnation, shame, and guilt and judgment. But this is not how you are calling us in this moment and in the days to come. You're calling us to this table with open hearts, open heads, open hands, open to you. So as we reflect on this time together, may we just remember that you laid down your life for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the reconciler, the restorer, and the redeemer, we pray just as we pray.